It's tuned to yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, and welcome to this hour of sitcoms. Later in the hour, Marie Wilson stars as My Friend Irma, but right now it's the Smiths of Hollywood with radio announcer turned actor Harry Von Zell. The syndicated broadcast released for air on January 31st, 1947, called The Burglar.
From Hollywood, California, we bring you the Smiths of Hollywood. As Nancy Smith, Brenda Marshall.
Bill, do you have a dime? Bumps wants a comic book.
As Bill Smith, Harry Von Zell.
Ask Uncle Cecil. He got my last dime.
As Uncle Cecil, Arthur Treacher.
I say, isn't that child a trifle old to be begging dimes for comic books?
Yeah, I guess I am getting too old for that. Give me 50 cents and I'll get a copy of Esquire.
That was Jan Ford as Bump Smith. So sit tight, enjoy the music of Charles Hathaway, and listen to the Smiths of Hollywood. Presented by... It's the Smiths of Hollywood. And now, meet attorney Bill Smith himself.
Hello from Hollywood. Not the movie Hollywood. The real Hollywood. Oh, it's a funny place, this town. I've lived here 12 years now, and I still can't get used to it. I was thinking just this when Nancy and I drove home this evening.
Bill, the traffic light's green. You can go now.
Hmm? Oh, green. I didn't notice. Hey, can you lean out and read where we are?
Must be at Hollywood and Vine.
The nerve of that kid whistling at girls. Isn't dry behind the ears yet. And who was that woman with him?
Whistler's mother.
Oh, Nancy, what humor.
Oh, you're just joking. Hey, Bill.
What?
Look, isn't that Jimmy Stewart?
Oh, what of it? Don't get so
excited. Look, coming out of the Brown Derby.
Don't shout, darling, just because you see a movie.
Oh, but it is Jimmy Stewart.
Oh.
And look who's behind him.
Well,
Ann Sheridan.
Yeah, Ann Sheridan. Yeah, Ann Sheridan, where? Where's Ann Sheridan?
Well, don't shout, darling.
Who's shouting? Now you've done it. I killed the motor.
I've done it. Bill, didn't you get the battery charged today?
Well, that's, next needless question, please. Oh, fine, fine. Listen to the guy behind me. Just because his battery works. Stop showing off.
I'll fix him, darling. Mister, we can't seem to start our car.
What do you expect me to do?
Well, if you want to come up and try starting our motor, I'll go back and lean on your horn.
Nancy, you oaf.
Put her in high. I'll push you.
Darling, put the car in gear. I think the man will give us a push.
Yeah.
Oh. Bill, if you'd only had the battery charged.
Nag, nag, nag. I'll have it charged tomorrow. Okay. Okay, she started. Thanks a lot, Mac.
Don't mention it. You don't know how to fix a stuck horn, do you? Never mind. I jerked out the wires.
What's so up?
Oh, the way you jumped down that poor man's throat. And his horn was stuck.
Well, I'm human nature for you. Hey, Nancy, how would you like to drive home by way of the hills?
Well, we haven't time. Have you forgotten Commissioner Mooney's coming home for dinner?
Well, not till 7. Aren't you sentimental about our hills? Remember our first date?
Do I? I got decked out to see the bright lights, and I saw them all right, looking down from a mountain.
Yeah, it was quite a night. I think then's when I fell in love with you.
You mean when I kissed you?
No, when you patched up the water pump with your bubble gum.
Well, there goes another romantic memory.
Oh, suppose I replace it. Look, we'll drive up and look down at the lights for just a minute, huh?
All right. But, darling, if Commissioner Mooney has to eat bread and water for dinner, it's your fault. To the hills, Tonto!
Look at Hollywood down there. Thousands of people scurrying about, millions of lights. Looks like a squashed-out Christmas tree.
It's as cold as Christmas up here, too. Put your arm around me.
You know, darling, sitting up here in the car looking at the lights down there, I feel like a king on his throne.
Well, just remember, Your Majesty, the throne has a bad battery. Don't let the engine die.
Oh, I got my foot on the gas. Well, I suppose we better start home and get dinner for Commissioner Mooney.
Now who's being practical?
Well?
Did we come up here just to look at scenery?
What do you mean?
Oh, quit making a Fitzpatrick travelogue out of this. Kiss me. Oh, that's a typical husband kiss.
You said kiss you quick, kiss you quick. That's
well, right. Don't be so literal. Quick, kiss me, not kiss me quickly. Mm. Oh, light of my life. You made the world just stop cold.
That isn't all that stopped cold.
Now you've done it. Kill the motor. I knew it. Oh, you dimwit.
Dimwit? Fine thing. A second ago, I was the light of your life. Now I'm a dimwit. Certainly got dark fast.
Well, short circuit. Maybe the car'll start.
I'm a dimwit. Not enough juice there to attract a lonely, buck-toothed lady glowworm.
Well, look, can't we coast and get started?
If the car wasn't sitting in these deep ruts, we could... Hey, Nancy.
Mm?
Nancy, I have a wonderful idea. Look, darling, you know, you're always saying you need more exercise.
Oh, no.
No, no.
It was your idea coming up here. You walk back to the service station.
Okay. Sure you don't want to come along?
Oh, it's very kind of you to invite me, but I'll wait.
All right, but you better lock the car doors. Remember all the newspaper stories about prowlers.
Oh, don't worry about me, Doc. Prowlers? Oh, Bill. Bill, wait a minute.
Yeah, the battery went dead. If you got another one around the station here, maybe you could drive us up to where...
Where's your car again?
Right off Mulholland Drive on that first fire road.
Oh, up on Lover's Point,
Oh. Now, just a minute, fella. Don't get the wrong idea. We went up there to look at the town.
Young fella, you always put lipstick on to look at the town?
Darling, wipe off your lips.
I can't. They're fastened on. Look, Grandpa, can you drive us back up there with a new battery?
All alone up here now. Gotta wait till my helper comes back from his supper.
Oh, pancake batter. Look, Nancy, you better call Cecil and explain.
Cecil, her husband?
No, he's not her husband.
Bill, give me a nickel. I'll tell Bumps and Uncle Cecil to entertain Commissioner Mooney till we get home.
Commissioner Mooney, her husband?
No, Commissioner Mooney's not her husband. I'm her husband. What do you have to say to that? Oh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Look, Nancy, darling, go phone Uncle Cecil and Bumps, will you?
Betty, child, must you listen to that frightful wireless?
Oh, but this is an exciting program, Uncle Cecil.
They must buy that ammunition in wholesale lots.
Oh, he got me!
Thank heavens. That seems to be the end of the blood and gore, child.
Oh, no, that's not the end, Uncle Cecil. After the commercial, there's more.
The Lonesome Stranger will be back with us in just a moment. In the meantime, kiddies, are your teeth loose? Do you?
That does it. Do I look like my teeth were loose?
Aw, heck, Uncle Cecil. That's my favorite radio program.
Program? It sounded more like a pogrom. Bang, bang, bang. Haven't those fellas heard of the disarmament plan?
Gee, a girl can't do nothing around here. They stopped me from developing my camera film. He won't let me listen to the radio or anything.
Oh, go on. Go and develop your camera film if you must. I prefer darkness to noise.
You mean I can turn the lights off?
Anything if you don't play that radio.
Gee, thanks, Uncle Cease. And honest, I won't have the lights out long. Just long enough to get the film out of my camera to the developer. Then you can read your paper.
Couldn't you lock yourself in a trunk or something? I don't see it. I just don't see it at all.
See what?
See, what's funny about these comic strips in your American papers? What does clonk mean?
That's when a guy gets hit on the head. Okay, Uncle C, I'm going to turn off the lights now.
Well, if you must. And what does whap mean?
That's usually somebody getting slapped in the puss with a fist.
Yes, how droll, yes. I say, hurry, child, this darkness gives me the creeps. Bang, clonk, whap.
I'm hurrying. Wonder where Pop and Mom are.
Yeah, it's funny they haven't called or something, isn't it? Yes, the phone. Maybe that's your parents now.
Oh, don't turn on the light. The phone is over by the desk.
I know. Stop your ringing. I'm coming. What does boing mean?
That's when somebody bumps his head. Are you answering the phone?
Well, I'm trying to find it. It's inky dark in here.
Don't forget about the end table with the fruit plate.
I didn't.
Did you fall down, Uncle Steve?
No, I didn't fall down. I was trying to fly and one engine failed me. Turn those lights on.
But I was just getting the film out of my camera.
Hurry, child, I might be dying.
Okay, wait till I find a switch. Oh, Uncle Smitty, let me help you up. Can I do anything?
Yes, yeah, stop standing there gloating and answer the phone.
Oh, I forgot. Hello? Hello? They hung up, I guess. Gee, what a spill. Did you break anything, Uncle Fee?
I seem to have broken a plate.
That's a shame. Upper or lower?
Oh, what a vile child. The fruit plate. Now fetch a rag and help me get this grape marmalade off my tweeds.
Bill, I just called Uncle Cecil and there wasn't any answer.
Well, Nancy, maybe you didn't let the phone ring long enough.
8 times.
You did? Well, that's terrible. If Commissioner Mooney comes and there's no one home, he...
I called him.
Oh.
I said we might be late and the side door's open if he gets there and the house is dark.
Nancy, listen, with all the prowlers and robberies there have been, you shouldn't leave doors unlocked.
Well, no one's interested in stealing anything we have. Say, what happened to the gas station man?
Oh, him. Now he can't get his car started. Gone down to the diner to get his helper. It serves me right for feeling romantic. Look, try phoning home again.
All right.
There. This time I got you. Are you there?
Uncle Cecil. Nancy. I just tried calling you a few minutes ago.
I know. I still bear the scars.
Scars? What do you mean?
Well, I'd rather not talk about it.
Uncle Cecil, we're expecting Commissioner Mooney from the police department.
Really? What's William been up to now?
Commissioner Mooney's invited for dinner. I didn't know you were home, so I phoned him to come in the side door if the house was deserted. Is Bumps there?
Yes, very much so. Well, don't worry, Nancy. In William's absence, I'll be the perfect host. By the by, where did William hide the scotch?
In the hat box on the top shelf of my closet.
Oh, moved it again, did he? Well, don't worry. I'll be a good host.
Well, fine. We'll be home as soon as we get our car started. Bye-bye.
Cheerio.
Was that Mom, Uncle C?
She wants us to play host to a Commissioner Mooney, to your eyes.
Oh, gee, then I better get my films developed and the kitchen sink clean.
Never mind cleaning the sink, child. Concentrate on yourself.
Right away. If I can just have the lights off just for a few minutes.
And have that table leap out and boing me again? No.
It'll just take a second, Uncle C. The developer is all mixed. Otherwise, I'll have to throw it off.
Oh, all right, but do hurry.
Well, I will. Ready? Here go the lights.
with all the hobbies you pick photography. Have you ever tried snail watching?
What does that get you? With photography, I might grow up to be editor of Look magazine someday.
Yes, I hope you do. It would serve you right. I say, child, aren't you through with that picture fuddling yet?
Just about. You can turn the lights on in a minute.
Well, let's hope so. I feel I'm sprouting owl feathers. I say, child, have you retired for the night in there?
We'll have lights in a minute. Oh, I got the film twisted. Uncle Smitty, there's someone at the side door.
Oh, it must be our guest. The lights, quick, Bumps. Just a minute, we'll have illumination for you.
Hey, what is this, a trap? Stand back, you.
Oh, don't go, my dear fellow. You have the right house. I'm Bill's uncle. May I take your coat?
Oh, no, you don't. Get your hands off of me.
Oh, you Scotland Yard men, always suspicious. I don't blame you, the lights being off and all.
Is it Commissioner Mooney, Uncle Steve?
Commissioner Mooney? Me?
I'm Sir Cecil Smythe. Delighted to know you, Commissioner.
Hi, Commissioner. I got developer on my hands.
Yes, and this is what I have on my hands, William's daughter. Commissioner, Bill was detained a little.
Bill?
My father, William Smith. He called and said we should make you at home.
Yes, how about a drink, old chap?
A drink? Well, now you're talking my language.
Oh, what's your pleasure, Commissioner? Rye? Scotch?
Scotch?
Yes, I'm sure William would want you to have the best. Anyway, I want the best. Well, cheers, Commissioner.
Yeah, mud in your eye.
Really? Which one?
Gee, you don't look at all like a police commissioner.
Oh, I can't agree. I could spot you for a bobby any place. There's some of William's cigarettes behind you. Help yourself.
Oh, why not? Say, that's a ritzy box they're in.
It's silver. Mom gave it to Pop for his birthday.
Silver, huh? Well, what do you know? Silver, no less.
Yes, do you collect silver, Commissioner?
Now and then.
Mom's nuts about silver. She's got a lot, only she keeps it put away in the hall closet so it won't get tarnished.
No kidding. Hall closet, huh?
Dreadfully silly of her. What with all those burglaries you read about?
Oh, you've been reading about them?
There seems to be nothing else in the paper these days. Serves people right for being so careless. I keep my valuables well concealed.
You own some valuables?
Oh, just a few trinkets, yes. I keep them at the bottom of my soiled laundry bag.
Ah.
I think it's rather clever of me.
Yeah. Who'd ever stoop to look through dirty laundry?
I wonder what's detaining William. Bumps, child, hadn't you better freshen up a bit?
Commissioner, you wouldn't mind if we had the lights out again for just a minute, would you?
Lights out? Why, no.
I warn you, Commissioner, her minutes last forever.
The commissioner said he wouldn't mind, though.
Well, if you must, child, but do hurry.
I will. Okay, lights.
You can see why the house looked deserted when you arrived, Commissioner. Does the darkness annoy you?
Oh, no, I'm used to it.
Of course, I can be firm with the child, you know.
Maybe I better be running along.
Oh, William would have a fit if we let you get away.
Oh, something smells about this. How come that side door was open before?
It was left open for you in case no one was home. Didn't William call you?
I begin to see.
With all the lights out? How extraordinary.
Hey, what time was I supposed to be here?
About 7, Nancy said. Say, you were early, weren't you?
Shh. Did you hear a noise?
Yes, there seems to be someone at the side door. Wait till I find the lights.
No, leave them off. I think it's a prowler.
A prowler? Really?
Well, who else would be sneaking in like that? I'll do the welcoming this time.
Hello? Anybody at home?
Friendly burglar, what?
Them is the most dangerous type.
Bill, Mrs. Smith, what's going on?
Did you get him, Commissioner? Did you get him? Commissioner, did he get you?
I got him all right.
Bumps, turn on the lights. We just nabbed a burglar.
Nabbed?
Yes, you know, conked. Wet. Winged.
Is he dead?
Well, he's breathing. I say, bravo, Commissioner. Nice work.
Hey, he's got a tough head on him.
It's real criminal face, all right.
I can always spot a crook.
Yeah, tie him up before he comes out of that blackjack dream. Get me some rope, quick.
Don't you think he's roped enough, old boy? Beginning to look like a sweater someone once knitted for me.
There's no use taking chances. Now, give me that dish rag. I'll tie it over his mouth.
Now what do we do, old chap?
Well, I was just thinking. I tell you, you two carry him out and lock him up in the garage. I'll call headquarters.
Awful cold out there, but if you think it's wise, help me, Bumps, will you? I say, he's a heavy fellow, isn't he?
I'll get his feet.
Could you open that side door for us? My, what flat feet. Look like squash paddles.
Yeah. Now, maybe you two better stay out in the garage and sort of keep an eye on him till the Black Mariah comes.
Black Mariah? Who's she?
The patrol wagon. Now, go on. Put him out in the garage.
Hey, look, the burglar's coming, too. He's opening his eyes. He's trying to say something. Shall we take the dish rag out of his mouth?
No, I don't think it's prudent, no. I say, how red in the face he's getting, isn't he? Looks like a cooked lobster.
He's probably getting mad.
Oh, it won't do you any good to mumble, old chap. I say, he seems to have a lower plate wobble. I must say he's a nasty-looking specimen.
Hey, a car's coming in the driveway.
The patrol wagon?
I don't know. No, it's Mom and Pop. Oh, gee, will they be surprised. Hey, Mom! Hey, Pop, come here quick. Got a surprise for you.
Okay, Bumps. Want a relief with a new battery, I can let the motor... What do you mean, surprise, Bumps?
Come, look, William. See what we've got trussed up in here. Yes, look. We caught a bumper, see? Come and look at him. Come on.
What is it?
I say, Commissioner Rooney really deserves part of the credit, you know. He's the one who wonged him.
What are you talking about? What is that? On the floor. Let me... Gabriel's teeth.
Well, aren't you going to congratulate us?
Congratulate you, fathead? That's Commissioner Mooney.
Mooney? Mooney.
Oh,
it is Commissioner Mooney. Oh, quick, I think he's strangling. Cecil, where are you going?
I'm not quite sure. I had South America in mind. And you see, William, the chap I thought was Commissioner Mooney must have been the burglar.
Oh.
I say, wasn't it a funny mix-up, what? Oh, yes.
Funny?
Yes.
Funny, you call it. Just hang around, you'll see some real fun. Here, help me with this last knot, Nancy. There,
Commissioner, are you all right?
That dish rag. Commissioner Mooney, listen, I can't begin to tell you how sorry I am.
That goes for me, too, old chap.
You old goat.
It wasn't I who hit you. It was the burglar.
Yes, they have been playing host to a burglar, if you please, Commissioner. Feeding him my scotch.
Say, where is the burglar?
Yes, we left him in the house.
Well, he may still be there, Bill. You go in the back door, I'll go in the front door.
Okay.
Where shall I go?
Where shall you go? I'm tempted to tell you.
See anything, Bill?
Not a sign of him back here.
Let's try the basement.
Anywhere in the basement, darling?
Not a soul. Commissioner, let's try upstairs.
I say, anything upstairs?
Just a pile of laundry dumped on the floor.
Yes, we must be more careful about... Laundry? Why, that beggar was into my cash.
Mom, I don't think you have to worry about your silver tarnishing anymore. What? Everything has gone out of the hall closet.
The more I think of it, Uncle Cecil, giving a burglar my scotch.
And I bet you told him where we keep the silverware.
Yeah. Now, of that, I'm innocent. Bumps told him that.
Oh, let's not waste time crying over spilled milk. If Screwball here could only describe the man.
Well, I've told you, he looked like a police commissioner.
Hey, everybody, look. I've got something I want to show you.
Oh, we'll see it later, Bumps. We're very busy.
But this might make me famous. I might get a job with Look and...
What are you talking about?
A picture I took in the kitchen. I developed it in the basement. Sort of blurred, but you can see. Here, hold it up to the light.
Let me see it. Yes, a remarkable shot. Yes.
Of the burglar?
of you, Commissioner, stretched flat on the floor.
Here, give me that thing.
Oh, don't tear it up.
Why, if this ever got into the papers...
But there's more on it. See? Look, in the background.
By jingles? I believe that's our burglar. Look at the moronic face.
That's me you're looking at.
I mean standing next to you, stupid. Let me see. It is all right. Why, it's two-term Fagin. So, he's our man.
You know him, Commissioner?
I should say I do. And with this as proof, we'll nab him.
I guess I'm a hero.
You certainly are, child. Fagin, huh? I think he's wanted as a crook in Chicago.
Really? I thought Chicago had enough crooks. Oh. Tell me now, what do they want more for?
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Well, the Smiths had a hard day. Let's leave now so they can turn off the lights for good. But be back for our visit next week, same time, same station. The Smiths of Hollywood is written by Dick Nosserman, directed by Vic Knight, and produced by Andrew Hickox. In tonight's cast, besides Arthur Treacher, Brenda Marshall, and Harry Von Zell, were Sidney Fields, Jerry Hausner, and yours truly, Tyler McVeigh.
The Smiths of Hollywood, on Tuned to Yesterday from January 31st, 1947. Most stations play that episode about a year later as it was in syndication during that time. The night before in Hollywood, Harry Von Zell had served as announcer for the national broadcast of the Eddie Cantor Show, where Cantor celebrated his 55th birthday, and part of the plot was to have Cantor start a new network with Jack Benny called NBC, standing for Nothing But Cantor. You're listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now Marie Wilson portrays My Friend Irma in this 1950s broadcast from CBS.
My Friend Irma, created by Cy Howard and starring Marie Wilson as Irma and Kathy Lewis as Jane.
$50.
What did you do?
She borrowed Mrs. Higgins' car and wrecked it. Oh, Irma. Oh, and after all the lecturing I've given you, why did you borrow Mrs. Higgins' car when you don't know how to drive?
Well, you told me never to be wasteful.
Oh, what has that got to do with it?
Well, someone gave me a ticket to a drive-in movie, and I had to have a car to get in.
Now, never mind all that. Just tell me who was at fault in the accident.
The other person. I put my hand out for a right turn.
Yeah?
And when I turned left, he hit me.
Wait a minute. You signaled for a right turn and turned left.
Yes, and it wasn't easy. I had to slide across the seat and open the window so I could put my right hand out.
Irma, I don't understand all this. All you had to do was stay where you were and put your left hand out.
What, and drop my ice cream cone?
Oh. And tell her about those 15 people you frightened to death.
Well, you can't blame me. It's those stupid signs they have.
Stupid sign?
Yes, it said safety zone, and when I drove into it to get out of the way of all the traffic, the cop bailed me out.
So you tangled with the law, too.
You're lucky he didn't give you a ticket.
Oh, he couldn't. I don't have a license. But he was going to take me to court.
What made him change his mind?
I don't know. I offered to drive him there.
Look, I'm not interested in how it happened. All I want is my client's $50.
But I don't have $50.
Well, I'll give you 24 hours to get it. If you don't have it when I come back here, we start suit. Goodbye.
Gosh, Jean, I guess you'll just have to let me have the $50. Jane, you're my friend. You've got to help me out when I'm in trouble.
Listen to me, Irma. I am through helping you out of the ridiculous situations you managed to get yourself into. Now, you are strictly on your own.
That's a fine way to talk when I've been trying so hard to improve myself.
You call this improving?
Well, that would have been worse. I almost hit a big truck, but I stopped the car just in time.
Well, good for you. How did you manage to do that?
I ran out of gas. Please, Jane, you've got to lend me the money.
No, not a chance, Cookie. I don't want to seem unreasonable, but this is unforgivable. Driving a car when you don't know how. You could have killed someone. No, Irma, this is your own party.
But, Jane, when you're in trouble, I always help you.
When was I ever in trouble?
That time I set your dress on fire.
Yeah. Honey, I've made up my mind. It is all settled. I'm tired of being a mother to a girl my own age. Come in.
Hello, girls.
Hello, Mrs. O'Reilly.
Oh. Say, what's the matter with you girls? You sound like you've been quarreling.
We have. I don't know what's the matter with Jane. Just because I made a little mistake, she's mad at me.
A little mistake? Mrs. O'Reilly, all she did was to borrow a car when she doesn't know how to drive, doesn't have a license, and doesn't have money to pay the damages.
Damages?
Yes. I've been telling her that she had no business borrowing a car when she's not a responsible person.
Not responsible? I certainly am, and I have witnesses.
You have?
Yes, a policeman and a driver of the other car both said I was responsible. And now Jane won't help me.
Help you?
Yes, I need $50. Will you lend it to me?
Well, if it's such an emergency, maybe I could...
Hold it. Now, Mrs. O'Reilly, before that big heart of yours begins to melt, let me tell you something. Irma will never learn to take care of herself as long as she knows that we will come to her rescue.
Oh, Jane, how can you be so cruel?
Well, Irma, I see what Jane's driving at, and maybe she's right. You know, when I was a little girl, I used to be very cocky because I knew I could always run to me mother. But one day something happened that changed all that.
You did?
Yes, I was trying to steal some honey out of a beehive. And the bees got mad and started to chase me. So I quickly ran and hid under me mother's hoop skirt. But the bees followed me. And from that time on, I was on my own.
Only me, Professor Kropotkin. Hello, Janie and Irma.
And Mrs. O'Reilly. My three little beauties. You, Janie, with hair that shines like silk.
Well, thank you, Professor.
And you, Irma. Oh, your hair is like a golden sunset.
Thank you.
And you, Mrs. O'Reilly.
Yes, Professor.
Ragmop.
I might have known you'd run true to form, you old reprobate, you.
Oh, now, please, Miss O'Reilly, that's no way to talk to the man that's going to lend me $50.
$50? Thanks for the compliment. But tell me, what do you need $50 for?
Pay for the car I wrecked.
How did you ever do such a thing? Whose car was it?
Well, it belonged to Mrs. Higgins, and I don't want to ask her for the money because she's mad at me already.
Well, Irma, darling, I wish I could help you. Maybe if I hocked my fiddle.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Professor. You'll do no such thing. I'm trying to teach Irma to stand on her own two feet. And if you encourage her, all my work will be just for nothing.
A fine friend you are, Jane, turning everybody against me.
No, Irma, darling. What Jane is trying to do is for your own good. You know, a person's character is like a corset. If you want to take the easy way out, you can loosen it and relax. But if you have real power and keep it real tight, you'll always be in good shape.
The professor's right, Irma. Many's the time I've wanted to loosen a whalebone or two and relax.
By the looks of you, they must have loosened the whole whale.
Now, see here, you.
Now, fine, but your friend you are. All you do is think about yourself. I hate you. I don't want to know.
Trips to the bedroom will be the only ones in the apartment with a built-in swimming pool.
Oh, Janie, maybe we're being a little too hard on Irma. I have a few dollars saved
look,
and I...
Look, Mrs. O'Reilly, I have the money, too. But I refuse to let her get away with these things. She's just got to learn that money doesn't grow on trees.
Speaking of trees, come on, Miss O'Reilly. I want you to come up to my room and see if you agree with the birds.
What do you mean, the birds?
Well, a little robin was just about to build a nest on my windowsill. But her husband took one look at my room, looked at Mrs. Robin, and said, "Come on, Mama, this is not the right place to raise a nice family." And believe me, if I had wings, I would fly away, too. Goodbye, Jamie.
Where are you going?
There's one time Irma's gone a little too far, and I'm not going to see her through. She's done stupid things in the past, but driving a borrowed car when she doesn't even know how to drive. Well, that's a little too much. Some things she does are perfectly harmless. Like the time I sent her to the store for a can of sockeye salmon, and she came back with a fish and a hammer and told me to hit it. Well, anyway, now she's on her own. Let her go to Mr. Clyde's house. He's rich. He can afford aspirin.
Hello, Miss Peterson. This is a surprise. Come in.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Clyde. Is Mr. Clyde in?
He's around back in the garden.
Oh, every time I come here, I have to admire your house. Oh, is that a new sofa?
Why, no, my dear. That's a love seat.
Aren't you and Mr. Clyde a little too old, Nick?
I beg your pardon.
Oh, and that beautiful sterling punch bowl. Oh, it's exquisite.
Oh, thank you. It was a wedding gift to us. It was made in 1790.
Well, you and Mr. Clyde have certainly stuck together a long time. This room is priceless. What's that statue over there without the head?
That's Winged Victory.
Well, if that's Victory, I hate to see what the loser would look like.
Speaking of heads, Miss Peterson, mine is getting a little tired. Why don't you join Mr. Clyde in the garden? You can go through here.
Thank you. Oh, Mr. Clyde!
Yes? Oh, it's you. You'd better get back in the house and get an umbrella. There's a woodpecker flying around here.
Mr. Clyde, I simply must speak to you.
Well, all right. Come over here. I'm planting some petunias. I want to cultivate the bed.
Well, you can take your nap later. This is important.
I thought I was getting a day off. Let's go over here. You can talk to me while I work in the garden.
Here you have a pretty garden. Did you plant it all yourself?
Just about. With the exception of that old weeping willow. That was planted by my great-grandfather.
Oh, Mr. Clyde, stop trying to kid me. How could an old man lift such a heavy tree?
Look, will you just keep quiet while I plant? What did I do with the geranium slips?
What?
A bit of green things. There was a bunch of them right here.
Oh, I've been eating them. I thought it was celery.
Oh, no. Here, take these.
What are they?
They're Figaro tablets.
Why should I take them?
They'll help you grow, you blooming idiot. Now, don't start crying. What is the matter with you, anyway?
Oh, I borrowed a car. Now, if I don't pay for the damage, I'll have to go to jail.
Jail? Oh, Miss Peterson, that's too bad.
Then why are you smiling?
Oh, was I?
Mr. Clyde, it will only take $50. Will you lend it to me?
Me lend you $50?
Yes, you can take $5 a week out of my salary, and in 5 weeks it'll be all paid back.
And to think this is the girl who does my bookkeeping. Miss Peterson, I can't lend you any $50.
Why not, Mr. Clyde?
Because you have no business driving a car.
But the accident wasn't my fault.
Oh, it wasn't. Well, I'm an attorney. I'll find out very quickly. Now, in which direction were you driving at the time of the accident?
Frontward.
I know you were going. Now, where did you get hit?
In the rear. The car. I feel fine.
You were making a turn?
Yes.
Well, why didn't you see if the course was clear? Did you look in the mirror?
I didn't have to. I got dressed before I left the house.
No, I can't believe this. Was there a traffic signal on the corner?
Yes.
What color was it?
Red.
And you went through it?
No, I went around it. I hit the lamppost on the other corner.
Case dismissed.
My question, Mr. Clyde. Can I have the person I hit put in jail?
Only if they rewrite the Constitution. I wouldn't lend you a nickel to get out of this. You're a menace to civilization.
Well, if that's the way you feel, you can keep your money. I'll go to a finance company and borrow it. But you have no gratitude.
What do you mean?
Treating me like this after what I've just done for you, peeling all these potatoes.
Potatoes? Where? You moron, those are my prized valuables. Oh, get out of here.
Here. No, miss. This is the Happiness Loan Company. Those people are crying with gratitude because we loaned them some money. Now, what can we do for you?
Well, I need $50. Do you think you can lend it to me?
I believe we can. Your name?
Irma Peterson. I live at 8224 West 73rd Street.
Fine. Have you any collateral?
I've never been a sick day in my life.
Oh, I got a live one here. All right, miss, just sign this.
There you are.
And here's your $50.
Gee, this is easier than working for your money.
You should live so long. Goodbye.
Come in.
Hello, Jamie. Mrs. O'Reilly here told me about the terrible news.
What shall I do,
now,
Professor?
Now, control yourself. You know him. It's too bad her last name isn't Hoover. We could rent her out for a vacuum. Oh.
And this paper she signed. And the way that man leered at me when he came to appraise our furniture.
Now, take it easy, Jamie. No. I had my lesson with those finance companies. I borrowed some money one time for plastic surgery.
Did you have it done?
Certainly I had it done.
There must be somebody you can sue.
Be still, you.
Oh, how could she do it? How could she do it?
Hello, everyone.
Oh, there you are.
Yes, Jane. You don't look happy. What's wrong?
I don't look happy? Strange. I feel so joyful. I wouldn't be surprised if I had a stroke. Look at this paper you signed.
Isn't it good?
Good. It's wonderful. They'll be able to retire in a year. Irma Peterson, have you read this?
No. Is it interesting?
It's fabulous. I want to ask you one thing. There are so many honest loan companies. Why did you have to pick this swindle outfit?
Well, I needed the money because of the accident.
Well, I've got news for you, honey. Before you repay this, you'll have to work until you're 90.
90?
Yes. Not only that, but they get half the furniture, half your earthly possessions, and I haven't read the small print carefully. But unless I'm mistaken, if you and Al get married and have twins, they get one of the kids. Why are you crying?
It will probably be the one I like best.
Come in.
Chicken, you're crying.
She has reason to. Look at this.
Let me see. Oh. This document is so crooked, even I can't understand. Well, in a situation like this, there is only one man to contact.
Who else?
Who else but... Hello, Joe. Al. Got a problem. Look, Joe, Irma borrowed $50 from a crooked loan company. What is my move? Yeah, but Joe, I'd like your boys to wreck the joint. Why? Because this outfit must be run by the most vicious, the crookedest, the crummiest person that ever lived. The name? Happiness Loan Company. What, Joe? Well, Joe, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was your mother's business. Joe, wait a minute.
Happiness Loan Company.
And rather than take any more chances, I loaned her the $50. And to make sure she doesn't get in any more trouble, Irma is taking driving lessons. Sweetie?
Yes, Jane?
How'd your driving lesson go today?
Oh, wonderful. I answered all the teacher's questions correctly. I learned all the safety laws, and I learned all the words on the eye chart right.
Well, that's fine. When do you take your next lesson?
I don't know. I wrecked the teacher's car.
Oh, you know, there's going to be another wreck. A nervous wreck. It'll be the girl that lives with my friend, Irma.
My Friend Irma, on Tuned to Yesterday, an early 1950s broadcast from CBS. And that wraps up this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.